Open work session of House Bill 2873.
Mr. Chair, committee members, we first heard House Bill 2873 on April the 6th. The measure provides that retirement benefits for police officers and firefighters not provided through PERS are exempt from state, county, municipal taxes other than state-imposed personal income tax and inheritance tax. You have in front of you a -1 amendment which limits the exemption only to county and municipal taxes. We do have a revenue statement that's issued. There's no fiscal impact, and there is currently a subsequent referral to revenue on the measure.
And colleagues, if we have any questions, Representative Barker is here to help us wade through this. Are there any questions? First of all, I'll accept a motion.
What bill do we
have? Motion.
The -1, 2873.
What are we on?
2873.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the -1 to 2873.
Thank you. Representative Cameron moves -1, amendment 2873. Is there any questions or discussion on the motion?
Could we put on the record what -1s do?
Please.
Yeah,
I jumped out. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, I did explain. That's okay. To re-explain,
okay.
Mr. Chair, President Thatcher, the -1 amendment limits the exemption to just county and municipal taxation. That's it. Not to state.
Any further questions? Motion to amend. Representative Witt, Representative Cameron just moved the -1 amendment into House Bill 2873. If you want to take a moment and take a look at what we're doing here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any further discussion?
Ms. Anfoldy. Mr. Chair, I was just curious what kind of county and municipal taxes would be that we are exempting.
Representative Barker is going to come up here and help us out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee members, what the county tax that brought this about was Multnomah County imposed the 3-year income tax on people who lived in Multnomah County. And PERS employees didn't have to, retirees didn't have to pay it, employees did. If you were a retired mailman and you had lived in Minnesota all your life and you just moved to Multnomah County, you didn't have to pay it. But the firefighter or police officer who worked for the city of Portland for 30 years did have to pay it. And this just puts that group equal with other public employees. If nobody had to pay it, that would be fine with our members. But we didn't like being singled out. The people didn't like being singled out. And we asked for the amendment. That clarified it so it wasn't about state income tax. We're perfectly willing to pay our share of taxes.
Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's all I needed. I just wasn't aware Multnomah County had an income tax.
Oh, yeah.
It did for 3 years. It doesn't right now.
Thank you. Any further questions of the good representative? On the motion. Very good. Any objection to the motion? All right. So I'll move. Representative?
Mr. Chair, I'll move House Bill 2873 to the floor with a due pass.
With a subsequent referral
to Ways and Means.
Mr. Revenue. Representative Cameron moves House Bill 2873 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a referral to the House Committee on Revenue. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? All right, seeing none, so moved. I'm going to close the work session. House Bill 2873. And let's see, if anyone was working off the old calendar, the old agenda, we are not hearing House Bill 2430 today. So if anyone is here on House Bill 2430, we're not hearing that bill today since we've revised the agenda. So I need... I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3128.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 3128 allows the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to waive the corporate surety bond required for grower sales privilege or warehouse licensees under certain circumstances. The measure applies to privilege tax reporting periods beginning on or after January 1st, 2010. Committee members, you have in front of you a -1 amendment which extends the waiver to qualifying out-of-state shippers and wine self-distribution permittees who do not owe Oregon privilege taxes in a similar fashion to what's outlined in the measure. There is currently a subsequent referral to revenue on the bill.
Jocelyn Owa. Charles will bring up the Kehi Jokoi. Did I butcher those royally? You can introduce yourself and tell me how bad I did.
My name is Jess Lyon. I'm the General Counsel for the Oregon Wine Growers Association, and we're here today in support of House Bill 3128 and the Dash 1 amendments. I thought I'd just speak to you briefly about the reason we brought the bill and a little bit of background on it. Oregon law currently requires that holders of winery licenses and certain other categories of wine licenses obtain and maintain annually a surety bond to ensure payment of wine privilege taxes. However, many of these individual licensees are so small and conduct such limited in-state sales activity that at the end of the year, year after year, they do not owe any net privilege tax. So for these small businesses, obtaining and paying and processing a yearly bond is expensive and necessary, and it requires extra paperwork for the OLCC when the OLCC doesn't find any benefit to it. 2 years ago, the legislature approved an OLCC discretionary waiver from this requirement for small wineries who didn't owe Oregon privilege tax, and that bill was very welcome relief by the wineries and well received as the OLCC has implemented in the last year or so. House Bill 3128 would extend the same discretionary waiver to similarly situated wine businesses that happen to hold other license types, such as wine warehouses or grower sales privilege licensees. Again, these are only for certain licensees who qualify because they haven't owed privilege tax in the prior year and in good faith and in dialogue with the OLCC do not expect to owe it in the current year, or also for brand new businesses that are so small that they don't intend or expect to owe any privilege tax in their current year. House Bill 3128, as amended, would also extend that waiver to qualifying out-of-state direct shippers and wine self-distribution permittees who also don't owe Oregon privilege taxes if their sales are so small. The OLCC actually suggested that amendment to us at a meeting with winery representatives late last year after the date for their own agency bills. House Bill 3128 then is a fairly technical fix that basically just prevents some needless time, expense, and effort by industry members in obtaining and filing the bonds, and will save the OLCC the time and hassle of reviewing and processing bonds that don't really have any value to the state. Entities that do have a tax obligation or that aren't granted the discretionary waiver by the OLCC because of any tax concerns, reporting compliance, etc., would still, of course, be obligated to maintain the bond to secure payment of appropriate privilege taxes to the state.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Katie Jokoi, and I'm Western Counsel for the Wine Institute, which is a public policy association representing 963 California wineries. Jess has just covered exactly why we support 3128 with Dash 1 Amendment. It includes the out-of-state wineries who are direct-to-consumer shipping permittees and self-distribution permittees. And he did a great job of explaining exactly why these bonding requirements are sometimes barriers to entry for the smaller wineries. So this should actually increase choice for Oregon consumers by pulling in more wineries who might be interested in a permit and would no longer have this bonding requirement. So we ask you to support the bill with the amendment. Thank you.
And the amendment was described while I was out running around, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Any questions, these good people? And members, this is a perfect example where we don't have all the paperwork, but when it's time to vote, we're going to be voting. And there ain't going to be a long, drawn-out process. We're running out of time here. So I beg of all of you to come ready to vote, because there won't be a big, long, prolonged question-and-answer period on anything in the next few days. So if you have questions on the agenda, call good people like this up and get the answers, because we are going to go right through it. Thank you very much. Sorry I had you up here to give that speech, but it's a perfect example of how people have to be prepared. All right, anyone else want to speak on House Bill 3128?
The commission's not signed up, but we want to just hear they're okay with this bill.
Are they? Well, I don't know. Maybe they're afraid to come up here after last week.
You're okay.
Would the OLCC have any comments? I promise not to yell at anybody today. Well, no, I better not make promises I can't keep.
That doesn't include us, does it, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm not afraid.
Good.
Yet, but I may be ready. Tom Irwin, Government Affairs Director with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We're fine with this bill and the substance of it, and so I chose not to say anything because I didn't really have anything to add other than that we are in support of the bill.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions of Mr. Irwin while we got him here? All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair, before we close out, can you? I have asked for the paperwork to be given to us for Wednesday's hearing. So
Very good.
If you could announce that we're carrying that over so to
carry it
so
over
Ramona doesn't come downstairs.
We'll carry House Bill 3128 over to Wednesday.
That works for me.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3128, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2910.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2910's first hearing was on April the 6th. The original measure excludes sole practitioners from conducting professional real estate activity that's licensed by the real estate agency and permits individuals that are engaged in such activity as a specified date to continue to engage in professional real estate activity as a professional real estate broker. We have in front of you a Dash 2 amendment. We have folks in the audience that can further explain this. The amendment establishes that a real estate broker can temporarily supervise the activity of another real estate licensee due to unforeseen circumstances or temporary absence of the sole principal real estate broker, and also does some further clarifications to real estate licensing law.
Okay, who should I call up here?
Sean.
Sean Gillian, you want to come up here and help us out with this, please? Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Sean Jillian's representing the Oregon Association of Realtors, questioning where I took the wrong turn out of law school that I'm not working for the wine industry. But anyway, the Dash 2s are substantially similar to the Dash 1s that we described in the initial public hearing. The one substantial change, I would say, is the advertising portion that we had discussed regarding teams. We have an agreement with the agency to work on that via rulemaking. So that portion has been removed from the Dash 2s. The remainder does what we had told you originally of the Dash 2, which is to work on eliminating the designation of sole practitioner and also allow temporary supervision by a broker. Mr. Chair, in the interest of time, there's probably a little tweak that we'll do over on the Senate side, but we didn't want to address it here, which will relate to the experience requirements of the broker who's going to supervise. But I think that's an easy fix that we can do on the Senate side. And be happy to move this thing along, Mr. Chair, if that's your wish.
Any questions, Mr. Jillian? We don't have the paperwork to move this today anyway. Waiting on a fiscal on the amendment. On the Dash 2?
Yes.
Just for the record, I hate anything being said it's going to be fixed on the Senate. I wish you hadn't even said that.
With the commissioner sitting behind me, Mr. Chair, I had to put that on the record that we're
No, they got big boys and girls. They come up and say it.
Yep.
Because now it's going to have to be said on the House floor unless miraculously you can get it fixed before we move it. So if you want to try and do that, go ahead. I prefer you do.
Okay.
But that's my humble opinion. Because I wouldn't blame this committee for voting no, knowing that it isn't prepared to go. It just goes for everybody. Any further questions of Mr. Jillian's today? This fine American, excellent professional who we all love.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Esquivel.
Since he did make the turn for, I don't know, for the worse and work for us realtors, that is such a minute change. I don't know why we couldn't bring it in and attach it as an appendage when we take it out of here, because we can't take it out right now. So with your...
Well, we'll work on it. We'll see where we can...
And it's very... I mean, it's not even hardly worth discussing, but he had to discuss it.
That's right. I can appreciate his honesty. Any further questions or comments? Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anyone else? Oh, no, it's a work session. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2910. and open a work session on House Bill 2739.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2739, which was first heard on March 30th, modifies motor vehicle inventory for which the dealer may be allowed fair and reasonable compensation upon the termination, cancellation, non-renewal, or discontinuance of a franchise. The bill increases the amount of damage to a new motor vehicle requiring disclosure to the prospective purchaser. During the public hearing, you were brought forth a Dash 2 amendment, which changes the terminology and clarifies the intent of the bill. There's no fiscal revenue impact on the original, but we are waiting for the fiscal impact on the Dash 1.
And the language does not substantially change, if we were make a prediction, would not change the fiscal or the revenue impact?
Mr. Chair, the amendment does, it changes terminology in the bill from a new current model year motor vehicle inventory to new vehicles manufactured in the current year and any subsequent calendar year in the motor vehicle inventory. And the amendment also changes mileage reference as far as the damage amount, I believe.
So they're saying the same thing with the same word, with different words.
I believe the rationale, I'll look at Tom Gallagher for nod his head, is just to align language to what's the national standard for the...
Come on up, Tom.
It's been a while.
What we're trying to do here is, if this committee wishes, we could move this today, suspend the rules, move it without a revenue and fiscal impact on this minor amendment. If the committee chooses to do that, if not, we'll wait till we get the paperwork, because this is a minor change. I understand.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Tom Gallagher representing the Oregon Automotive Dealers. All we're doing here is clarifying that when you skip a year, you have a 2009 and then a 2011 model, how the language applies to the manufactured take back of those vehicles. So it changes it from current model year to current calendar year, and it has no revenue impact whatsoever on any state agency.
Any questions of Mr. Gallagher while we have him here? All right. Members, what would you like to do here? Nothing? I don't hear something. We're listening.
Mr. Chair, I'm willing to follow the lead of the chair on this one.
Let's go ahead and... This is the amendment, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that's for the amendments.
Unless there's heartburn.
I will... So this is the one we're moving on.
Correct.
And we're waiting for
this. We're waiting for the fiscal and dash, too.
And Mr. Chair, and just to clarify, there was no revenue impact on the first bill.
That's correct.
That's correct. And committee members, I should also point out that all the paperwork has to be given to committee staff before the bill is dropped at the desk. So if there is something, you know, for this vote or in the future, if the committee chooses to suspend rules, if there is something that comes up, we can't always bring the bill back and for consideration. So that there is a stop there.
I would like to get this work done today if we could.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the Dash 2 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Witt. Moves the Dash 2 amendment at House Bill 2739. Is there any discussion or questions on the motion? Oh, do we need to suspend the rules?
Technically we do.
For the amendment?
For the
bill?
For the consideration without the... Yes.
Okay, now stop. Before we make a motion for the amendment, do we have to suspend the rules?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we do.
Representative?
Move to suspend the rules, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Representative Witt moves to suspend the rules on House Bill 2739. For the purpose of voting on the bill without a fiscal impact statement being available for review. Is there any questions to that motion?
No, Mr. Chair, I just would clarify again, this is a very minor change, and
yes,
there was no revenue impact on the original bill.
Thank you, Representative. Okay. Any opposition to the motion to suspend the rules for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2739 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review, and reminding you that we do have a revenue impact statement that says there is no revenue impact. Any questions or... Any opposition to the motion to suspend the rules? All right. Thank you. So moved. Representative Witt, now I'll take a motion for this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2739.
Representative Witt moves the Dash 2 amendment to House Bill 2739. Is there any discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. Representative, you want to move it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move House Bill 2739
as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Witt moves House Bill 2739 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, so moved. And I'll carry this one just in case anybody.
You think I should, since it's my bill?
Representative Well, I love it. I was going to do it because I thought there might be a million questions about why we suspended the rules. But so now I need, we have our good friend. Okay, order of business left. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2699.
Mr. Chair, committee members, the House Bill 2699 modifies the definition of public works and requires prevailing wage rates be paid on a public works project for which funds of a public agency are used, including funds that are received in the form of a tax credit or tax abatement. You have in front of you a -10 amendment, which replaces the bill and was discussed at our first hearing on March 25th. The amendment expands the definition of public works to include a construction, reconstruction, or major renovation project of a privately owned road, highway, building structure, or improvement of any type that is located in an enterprise zone, consists of or sited on real property for which a qualified business has received the property tax exemption under the enterprise zone program and has projected cost of at least $5 million. And you also are being passed out a -8 amendment from Representative Cameron.
I'll just explain the -8 amendments. Members, the -8 amendments, we heard testimony in committee that this bill was about making sure we hire local labor to do these jobs in prevailing wage in enterprise zones, and that was the purpose of the prevailing wage. So the -8s basically make enterprise follow the original bill with enterprise zones becoming prevailing wage jobs, but that would, if there was a local members were on hired to do those jobs, that the prevailing wage would not prevail, and it would be business as it is today in those enterprise zones. So the -8s basically take care of the concerns of a lot of the testimony that we heard, and if we have higher local people, we will still have the ability to get enterprise zones done without having those wages prevail.
Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Perhaps a question of Representative Cameron, if he's so inclined, regarding the -8. This is the first I've heard of it, but it makes my skin crawl when I think of the Commerce Clause implications. Did LC give any advice that this might be facially unconstitutional or anything?
Mr. Chair, would you like me to go down to the...
No, we can just talk it out.
Well, it doesn't restrict state lines. It's a 200-mile radius.
Huh.
So there's no interstate violation here.
Ooh, I'm not, respectfully, Representative, I'm not at all certain.
No.
I simply don't know enough about Commerce Clause jurisprudence, really.
Well, LC didn't obviously say we're in violation of any Commerce Laws. Well, it's similar language that is in other bills.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I just want to add that it's... It just requires a certain percentage of people to come within a certain radius of the job. It doesn't... In order for prevailing wage not to apply, but otherwise it would apply when we bring in and out of state people.
I understand that, Representative.
Well, thank you.
Mr. Chair,
puts a condition under which
representative,
it's constitutional.
Well, let's try and keep some order here, please. Everybody talks right through me, not to one another.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't support these amendments, and I understand the intent, but I find it objectionable that we would have a situation that would play itself out that. In effect, we would have a wage floor that could result in higher wages for out-of-state workers now than we would for in-state workers. I mean, on the entire job. So if the job has more out-of-state workers, then prevailing wage would kick in. And I understand the incentive aspect, but I don't like how that could actually end up playing out. And so while the good chair knows my feelings about this bill at large, I can't support these proposed amendments.
You're speaking to the dash 8 representative?
The dash whatever, yeah, the dash 8. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we be at ease for a few moments?
You're going to stand at ease for a moment. Don't anybody go too far. Please. House Bill 2699 until...
Let's try Wednesday, Mr. Chair.
Until Wednesday. And therefore, I'm opposed to work session House Bill 2699.
They are.
Do you want to suspend the rules?
We already did that.
Yeah,
but he was not. Oh, yeah. I would gladly take that motion. Representative Barton, would you suspend the rules for the purposes of allowing Representative Matthews to vote on House Bill 2873?
Moved. So moved.
All right, very good. Representative Matthews, how do you vote on House Bill 2873?
Aye, Mr. Chair.
Very good.
Thank you.
Anything else for the good of the order today?
We're not going to do this.
Yeah, sorry. We don't have the paperwork, and we can't do this. I'm not suspending the rules on this one. All right, if nothing for the good of the order, we're adjourned.